You make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Does anyone know about that? So in other words, you take the pig's ear, and then it ends up as a beautiful silk purse, which is of course an impossibility. But that's what God does. He takes what is absolutely unable and he makes it into something that's of beauty and worth. And that's what God wants to do with us in each of our lives. And let's just start in Joshua 6 verse 2, because I want to try and explain a little bit of what the prophetic is like and how we work with it. Are you all interested in the prophetic?
Yes.
Anyone who doesn't want to hear? Good, 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 good. So I've got your attention. So in Joshua 6 verse 2, the Lord says to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with his king and his mighty men of valor." Now this happened before the wall came down. This word was given to Joshua when he had just arrived at the wall. There's the wall. 4 meters high, 2 meters wide, a very, very firm wall. And God says, "I've already given it. I've given these people to you." Can you just imagine Joshua? Just stop and think about what Joshua must have said. He must have said, "You know, God, hang on a moment. Did I hear you right? Did you say you have given it to me? I can't see any evidence of it. Maybe he's left the back door open. Okay, send one of the scouts go check around the wall. Is there a back door open? Because this wall looks pretty impenetrable." What was God doing? He was giving him a prophetic word. He was saying what the future held for him. He was showing him all the possibilities. And that's part of what the prophetic does in yours and my life. It shows us the prophetic. It shows us the possibilities. It shows us the can-do of what God wants to do with us. Let me tell you, without God, we can only do so much. With God, we can do so much more. Isn't that right? I just love the fact that God chooses to use me. Come on. Hey, look at the person next to you and say, "God wants to choose you." Oh, yeah. And he does seem to use the oddest of people, doesn't he? I mean, you just have to look at your next door neighbor. And you know that God uses the oddest people, doesn't he? But because he loves us. And in fact, God said, those are only odd people in my kingdom. There are no normal people. We're all peculiar, the Bible says, a special people. Isn't that wonderful? It sets us all free, then. We can just be who we are. We don't have to put on airs and graces. Okay, so I just want to give you a little bit of a testimony. So, as Nikki said, I had a husband. He passed away in 2022, and I'm trying to work out, because it just seems like a blur to me. But you know what? The amazing thing about this man of mine was that he was a farmer, and he was happy to be a farmer because he had scraped through school. In fact, he didn't even get to the end of school. He had to leave in grade 8 because they just couldn't teach him. They just said he was worthless. Told him he may as well just off he goes, you know. He loved farming because it meant he could be on his own. He didn't have to deal with people. He could never have stood up and spoken in front of anybody. He would never have dreamt about it. And yet God took this man and he got a prophetic word and said, "You're a pastor." So of course, being like most men, he laughed. He said, "The guy's absolutely ridiculous. That's never going to be the case." So God had to send somebody else on another occasion to give the same word. "You're a pastor." So he's like, "I'm getting a bit nervous here, but I don't believe it." And then the third time, 3 times, he was told, "You're a pastor," before he even started to believe it. Because when he looked at himself, he was totally unable. Well, that's God. And I want to tell you, that's the most exciting thing, is that we have a God He says, but God says. And this man, I watched him going from that type of thing where he could hardly speak to people, to a man who was leading a church, to a man who would go overseas, would go up to Zim, would go wherever we were asked to go and minister, speaking to people who are miles cleverer than he ever could have been. And yet God used him to touch people.
Amen.
And that's what God wants to do with you and I. Yeah, you might not be a pastor, but God still wants to use you. So that makes sense. You might not necessarily ever work in the church, but you know what? You've got a part to play as part of this church. You might have to go into your office area. You might have to go into the street. Corey. Is it Corey?
Yes.
I really feel God is wanting to do something in your life. You mind standing up to think that one? I've got it written down, but I'm not going to look right now. I really feel like the day of being held back, the day of sealings, is going off today. Right now, we just want to break those sealings off you in the name of Jesus, young man. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that this man who's been an apprentice for so many years, I thank you, Lord, right now, that you come in your power and you open the right doors for him. Lord, that you turn the situation in his life. Now, I'm talking from a knowledge. I've spoke to him earlier, so I'm not talking because God supernaturally shown everything. But I do believe that God is saying to you today, today is the day that you're going to draw a line in the sand and say, so far, no further, because I've got a better plan for you now. And I'm calling you out right now, and I'm saying, do you want the more that I've got for you? Do you want, are you ready to throw your life into my hands in a bigger way? Because I really feel God is wanting to open the right doors for you now, in Jesus' name. So Father, right now, I want to thank you, Lord, for this man and his precious wife. I want to thank you, Lord, for your hands upon them. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them not to be the tail, but to be the head. I pray that you call them right now to be the one that would be the barn breaker, so to speak, the one who opens the way, not the one who's coming in last. He's called you to win the race. He's called you to win the race in Jesus' name. And right now, Father, any words that have been spoken over him that have tried to hold him down and told him no, he's never going to do it, even the own words that he speaks to himself, I want to break those words off him now in the name of Jesus. And I want to say, rise, young man, man of courage, man of courage. Just as Gideon was told, mighty man of valor, so God is saying to you today, mighty man of valor. I really feel this is a dependable man. He's a man who's upright. He's a man that stands his ground. I get a sense that God is saying that you're a man who, when you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Your yes is your yes and your no is your no. And I feel like God is saying, I can work with you. And I pray, Lord, right now for you. I pray, Father, that you open the right doors for this man. Lord, you know his heart. You know what he needs. In Jesus' name. That's right. Amen. You're a good man. You're a good man. Don't forget that. Just hold your hands up. Sorry. Just hold your hands up. Father, I just want to lay my hands upon these hands in Jesus' name. Father, these hands that are prepared to do the work, pray, Father, right now for your anointing upon them. Would you give them the ability to create wealth? We call it in the name of Jesus. We call it in the name of Jesus. Break, even now, the poverty mentality, the poverty spirit, that, Father, your provision and your prosperity to come through in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Your precious name. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for these precious people. I just get excited. I can't, you know what? This is the trouble with women, is they get caught up in all sorts of things, don't they? They start one thing and then they go on to the next thing. But you know what? We found the thread somewhere, don't we? We don't. Yes, we do. Okay, let's just carry on. All right. Okay. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I love that. That's what I want to live in. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are being moved. God is taking us and moving us into a preferred future. Whether we realize it or not, we are on this walk. And when people like me come along to visit, I could get just another little, and I add another little bit to your journey. I just add the next little step to your journey. And I love that you were talking about the best exotic marigold hotel. Anyone see the movie? It was so good. And in the movie, the guy says this, Patel, the hotel manager, says, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not yet the end. So friends, if life is not quite all right in your life, it's not the end. All right? Okay. So he uses prophecy to get our attention to the possibilities and the potentials of our lives. You know what? So often we are caught in the smallness of life. You know, life squeezes things out of us. And God has called us into the big place. When you read Psalms, more over and over again, he says, I was in this place and I cried out to the Lord and he put me in a spacious place. And my belief is that we all need to be living in the spacious place. We all need to be living in a place where we have room to move, room to dream. They say that poverty takes your dreams away. So often they say when there's a lot of poverty, people can't stop to dream because all they can think of is, I've got to feed the family. I've got to put food on the table. Where am I going to get my next meal from? So they can't stop and look out at this like Abraham did and look at the skies and see the glory of what God's got for them. All they can see is what they've got today. And so the idea that God is trying to say to us is he's wanting to break us out. Now, I'm not saying everyone's poor. Please don't hear that. But often our mindset is a poor mindset. It's a, oh no, I'm no good. I can't do it. I haven't got very much. But prophecy is calling out the gold from people. Saying, God sees the gold in you. Now we get it out of you. It's speaking life and hope and a future over you. Speaking life and hope and a future. It's speaking the possibilities over someone. Like my husband, you're going to be a pastor. And then we started being told, you're going to go to all over the world. It's like, what? Well, I want to tell you, we did go over. Many times. Can't count how many times we went over to other places to go and speak about Jesus. It's calling things that are not as though they were. It's when you look at yourself in the mirror and you know who you are and yet you call out that somebody special out of it. God has called you and I to be a blessing. He calls a coward, Gideon, and he says, mighty man of valor. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, would you have chosen Gideon? Let's get honest here. I wouldn't have. He chose a stutterer like Moses. And he says, you're going to lead the nation. I mean, really? Do you really want somebody who's stuttering and stammering? I don't know if I want to sit and listen to somebody like that leading me, but God. And I've got a friend who was a stutterer. And I want to tell you, he's leading a church in Metairie today. And when he preaches, you do not hear a stutter. When he talks to you, he carries on. But when he preaches, he stops stuttering. Isn't that phenomenal? That's God. That's my God. Yes. Let's give it up to God. Hey, what about Joseph, that spoiled brat with the robe of many colors? And yet God called him, and he was able to feed not only his family, but the nations of the world because of what God had put in him. That's the kind of God I serve. Oh, there's many. Jonah, a rebel. Hey, listen here. God tells Jonah, you go to Nineveh, and Jonah says, never in a million years, and he runs the other way. And yet God calls him back We all know the story. He ended up in the fish and blah, blah, blah. And then God says to him again, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And the whole city gives their heart to Jesus. The whole city. 3 days' work, the whole city done and dusted. Now, wouldn't you like to be an evangelist like that? Hey? D.L. Moody says, I'm a mover of God waiting to happen. You know what? When I come into a room, my thought life is, Lord, I want to change the atmosphere. Where there's hopeless people, I want to leave them with hope. Where there's people with illness, I want them to be healed in Jesus' name. Where there is doubt and depression and problems, when I leave, there must be a change. Why? Because I carry the anointing of the Lord upon me. Wherever I go, and it's you too. Hey, listen, it's not just me. It's you too. If you are a child of God, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you carry something of the fire of God on your life and through your life. And wherever you go, you can change the atmosphere. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. Okay. Get back to my notes. You see, because a lot of us have lived in the real world, haven't we? Where maybe somebody said to you, you're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. You're just an absolute hopeless. Or you, whatever it is, where things you have lived with. I know people where I spent 2 hours on the phone to my nephew in Canada last night, who has suddenly had this huge meltdown because of what happened when he was a child. A grown man crying, as he's trying to make sense of his life because it's all falling apart because of what has happened in the past. He doesn't know the Lord, so I'm working in that department. But that's what many are dealing with. Many have got stories of where teachers have told them, you're stupid. My husband was told that. He was told he was a mute once, apparently. Didn't know what that meant until he asked his mother, and of course that caused the big hoo-ha. Yeah, you can imagine. Poor teacher after that. But what have you been told? What curse are you sitting under because somebody has said something to you? God wants to break that off you. God wants to call you into the preferred future, into the better place. He wants to call the greatness out of you. So the prophetic tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the Holy Spirit gives gifts for the profit of all. The New Living Translation says, so that we can help each other. Hey, man, today I'm helping you, but tomorrow you could be helping me. Okay? It's always a team effort. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, earnestly desire the best gifts. So we can desire this thing of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. 14:31, for you can all prophesy one by one. You can all prophesy one by one. How do I prophesy? Well, it says there that I can, so I know I can. I can desire it, yes, I've been desiring it. Now, how am I going to prophesy? Well, can I give you a little secret that I was told? You want a secret? I was told, pray your best prayer over that person. And as you pray, what's your name?
Raymond.
Is there anyone here, come, won't you come? Is there anyone here called Ronald? Is there anyone here called Ronald? Okay. So, okay, Raymond, I haven't got a prophetic word for you, I'm sorry. But I'm going to pray my best prayer over you. Is that all right? So, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for Raymond. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as he has sat in the front row and he is listening, in the front row, it tells me that he's enthusiastic. It tells me that he wants to hear what you've got to say to him. It tells me, Lord, that he is not prepared to just sit back and just let life happen. Because when you're in the front row, you get noticed. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that right now, that you help him to recognize that even as he has said, I want what you've got, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're saying to him right now, I've got your hand in my hand, says God. And I'm going to lead you into the more that I've got for you, says God. And I really feel that God is wanting to grow your stature in this church. I don't know what you do in this church, but I feel he wants to grow your stature. In other words, he wants to make you look even bigger than what you are. He wants to grow you. He wants to enlarge your capacity. And I feel this heart of yours, right now, he's breaking it for those that are you around. He's causing you to feel a compassion for people like you've never felt before. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And you're a nice guy.
Amen.
All right. Okay. So now, what did I do? What did I do? I just prayed a prayer. How can I bless this man? Lord, what do you want to... You see what I'm saying? That's how it starts. Now, you might not get anything. You might just say, hey, Lord, you know, thank you for this man. God bless you, and that's it. But you might just get something that God shows you. And that's the start. Does that make sense? All right, let's carry on. Don't want to waste too much time on that. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, they build them up. If somebody gives you a word and you feel worse after they've given you that word, it was not prophecy. That was condemnation. All right? God always builds us up. He doesn't break us. Well, he might break us down a little bit. Oh, I have to always say this. He might just kind of take a few bricks out of our wall in order to rearrange us a little bit so that he can build us up properly. So, okay. Does that make sense? You know, we can't keep all our rubbish inside. When we meet God, there are things that sometimes he starts clearing out from our lives, isn't it? A little bit of this and a little bit of that. So there is a work that does, but there's always, the end result is always a rebuild. The end result is always, you know, the smartest car on the block. The shiniest finish. The best engine. The mag wheels, the whole caboodle, okay? The GT somewhere on the bumper. Okay, let's carry on. So, Joshua could have, when he faced those walls, he could have said, hey, listen, this is going to be too big a job. I'm not going to be able to do this. He could have just gone home then and there. They could have gone back over the Jordan and that would have been that. But he chose to listen to God. So, we remember that we are to obey God. When God says something, now, I don't always know whether God is speaking to me or not. I have to be honest. It's always a faith thing. The prophetic and faith go together. You always need faith to step out the boat. That's how you grow the prophetic. It's never just because you know. It's because you're trusting. I've been prophesying for many, many, many years now. I still, every time I have to say something, I'm stepping out the boat, I can promise you. Like, Lord, am I getting it right? Lord, am I getting it right? Lord, I hope I'm going to say there's something that's going to encourage. That's how it works. But we need to obey what God says. So that's what Joshua did. He obeyed him. And then God says, right, go marching around the wall and don't care, say a word and, you know, 7 days do it. Hey, listen, everybody must have been thinking he was cuckoo. Like, how are we going to get around this? Can you imagine the people on the walls? They're probably looking down and laughing. But what they didn't realize, probably, was that the people inside had heard about the Israelites and they were scared. And I think so often we are so busy worrying about our own little story that we forget that the person we are going to be dealing with, like when we're going to be prophesying, their faith is starting to come into action. So when I come into a room and I want to prophesy over Raymond, his faith starts rising. Did you start thinking, Lord, have you got something for me? Are you going to speak to me? Did you think that? Yeah. So what happens? He picks up his faith. So So what happens? God says, oh my goodness, somebody's used faith. I've got to answer them. And he says, oh, Raymond. So I've got to work with that. Okay. Faith ignites God. Faith gets his attention as we step out in faith. Okay. Joshua had to face the enemy, even though the walls did still come down. Because we think, ha, he just walked around, he blew the trumpets, they did what they had to do, and shoop, the walls came down, and voila. But it wasn't. They still had to go in, and there's still people that they had to fight. So the thing is with the prophetic, is God gives you the mountaintop experience. He says, oh, this is going to happen, and oh, this is going to happen, and you get all excited. But what he doesn't show you is that sometimes there are a few valleys that you've got to go through. Valleys of darkness that you've got to go through. But if you take your prophetic word and you hold on to it, you will get through those valleys. You won't have to stay in that valley. You will get through. That's how God works. I've seen it in my own life. I've had some amazing... So, last year, point in case. I've been told God's going to use me into the nations. So I'm happy with that. Boy, I love to travel. I'll go traveling anywhere. But what happens to me? Well, on a city March morning, I slip in the garden and break my ankle in three places, and I dislocate the foot. It's what they call a pylon fracture. It's what they call what would happen to a person if they jumped out of a two-story building. They said, you slipped down the bank. Yes. Well, whatever you did, because I heard it. I went, and I knew I'd broken the jolly ankle. But I still got to go, and I've got to go and do ministry. I mean, I was in hospital for about 3 nights. And in the following week, I had a ladies' camp to do. But God.
Amen. Amen.
Oh no, I can't do that. You know, I've just broken my ankle. I'm so sorry. So I said to the lady, listen here, I've broken my ankle. Got a bit of a problem there. But my mouth still works. So I reckon I'm still up for it. So if you'll faith it with me, I'm prepared to do it. But if you don't, if you want to get someone else, all fair and well. So they said, hey, no, listen, okay, we'll faith it with you. So I was assigned two ladies to help me. So they gave me I got a wheelchair, and they would wheel me around. But then I get excited. As you see, I walk around, I get excited. So I didn't stay in the wheelchair for all that long. I'd stand up. I had a boot, one of those funny boots. But I knew I couldn't do too much because it was still early days. But the thing is, I could have said, oh, well, then that's my days of ministering anywhere else over. But I said, if God says it, that settles it. And so I did it. Okay, so don't let stuff stop you. Don't let those valley moments stop you. And I'm happy to say that I've had a miraculous, this is the doctor speaking, a miraculous recovery. All glory to God. Okay. Right. So, just so that you know, there are a few pitfalls, okay, when it comes to the prophetic. Just as though you're getting excited about it. Satan hates the prophetic. All right? Just be aware of that. Satan hates the prophetic. He tries to quench it, stop it, or undermine it. Just be aware of it. Don't get into a tizz about it. Just be aware that you're up against an enemy that's not happy. Number two, traditions of man try and stop you. Oh, you can't do that. We've never done that in this church. Well, hopefully in this church you have. And I think you have. All right? Don't let the traditions of man quench you and stop you. How about occultic involvement? If you've ever been involved in any kind of occultic witchcraft, anything like that, you need to renounce it. All right? Renounce it so that God can operate through you and in you in the prophetic. Does that make sense? This is not fortune telling. All right? That is the counterfeit. This is forth-telling and foretelling. Prophecy often is hindered when there's apathy or passivity. Hey man, I know, Des can testify as well. You can go a whole week and be as lazy as sin. Did you know that sin's lazy? Can be as lazy as anything. And you go to a church meeting and you can sit back and not worry. Or you can say, Lord, please use me. Lord, here I am. I want to be used. Guys, it's not the job of the people in the front row or only the leaders to bring a contribution. Now, it doesn't mean it might be a public contribution, but hang, I know God's got stuff that's inside of you, that's birthed inside of you. Thank you so much for your prophetic word. As you spoke about the planting and the seeds, did you know that seeds can sit up to 50 years in the ground without germinating? Did you know that? When the right moment comes, then suddenly things happen and it grows. 50 years. So don't think that the seeds you plant have to come up today. Okay? They might take 50 years. I trust not. Let's trust that they take a little bit of a shorter time, you know. Lord, let's, you know, one day is better. Anyway, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7 says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. All right? The prophetic has operated through faith. It's operated through love. When you love somebody, when you suddenly look at people through God's eyes, lady, you're the tall lady. Yeah, you standing up. What's your name, dear?
Jenny.
I was standing there watching you the whole time. And she stands up there. It's like you're a presence. And I feel like God is saying, wherever you go, people notice you. And I feel like you thought maybe, oh no, but I'm noticed for the wrong reasons. But I'm saying that God is, I feel like that people are recognizing something of the Lord on your life. Wherever you go, you carry the fragrance of the anointing of the Lord in your life. And I feel like you need to, I almost like see you dancing, man. Just have a little bit of a disco there. And I feel like that God is wanting to use, he's wanting to, there's almost been like, you've almost been in a straight place, kept you under control, so to speak. And God is saying today, come darling, come. What are we going to do? We're going to do the can-can together. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this lady. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you break any shackles that are on her feet. You break them off in the name of Jesus. Lord, she's going to dance. Lord, she's going to dance for you. Lord, it might go in the bathroom, of course. But Father, it might even be here, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, for your hand to be upon her. I pray, Lord, that she recognizes when she's walking in the shops and people look at her. Father, let her now see them with your eyes. Father, that she might just even go and tell them, God loves you. Lord, let something of that start. I'm not saying it's not there, but let it erupt. Lord, you're going to have fun. You go with a mission, girl. All right, now just stand there. Just wait, everybody. Are you all right? You haven't fallen asleep in the back row? You're still awake. Right. Hang on. Okay, so now I carry this goodie box because, you know, sometimes it's nice to have something, you know, something to eat sweet. I've got to get rid of them, otherwise I take them home and I eat them. Okay. All right. So I'm giving you these. And what are they?
Chocolates.
They're Astros. The sky's a minute. All right. Stop seeing yourself in the smallness. God's saying he's taking off right now. He's taking it off. He's taking off that smallness. Start reaching for the stars. And the thing with the Astros is they're all nice colors. They're not just one. They're not boring. You know? They're not gray. And then you don't get gray Astros. You get colored Astros. And I feel like God wants you to spread that color wherever you go. All right. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay. Sure. We should be finishing now, shouldn't we?
Just loving it.
Huh? Yeah, sorry, guys. All right. I can tell you all sorts of things why prophecy is important. It brings healing. It brings the supernatural. It brings a destiny or a future. It enables people to prepare for the future. It brings prosperity. Did you know that the prophetic, they prospered through the prophesying of Ezra? Hey, amen. We need that in this country, don't we?
Yes.
We need to see prosperity return to this nation. And I'm telling you what, it's only going to do when men and women with caliber stand up as righteous men and women and do business the right way. You will never prosper when you're not doing it God's way. I can promise you. You might get rich, maybe. Probably not your money, but anyway. But we want to be a prosperous people. Because a prosperous people, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, will lend to many nations, but they will not borrow. Hey, come on. This nation has got the gold. This nation has got the wealth. When I look at the people that God has put in this place, and I've gone to many countries, let me tell you, I'm always very pleased to come home to South Africa. Because when I look, when I see the people that we have, the cross-section, don't think that we are sitting with apartheid. And the left over, yes, we have a little bit of that, yes. When I go into any country that I've been into, there is apartheid there. Did you know that? They're very quiet about it, but it's there. And it might be between whatever, with people of Indian people and whatever people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's some kind of apartheid wherever you go in the world. At least we have had the honesty to own up to it. And yes, we haven't got it right. I'm not saying I understand that, and there is good. But God. We've got God, and that's our secret weapon. Let me tell you, friends. Let me tell you, pray. Pray for this election that we're going into. Pray that God gets the glory through it. Okay? All right. Okay, so how do we grow in the prophetic? And I said through faith. And I'm going to leave all that up, because otherwise you're going to get bogged down. But let love be the currency that you use. Stir the gift up. Believe for the supernatural. Is there anyone here? Is there anyone here that's battling with a back issue? Yes. All right. After the meeting, I'm going to call you and we're going to pray for you. We're going to trust God for healing. Is that all right? Because that's part of what the prophetic does. All right. Be accountable to your leaders. Friends, the only reason I can stand and do what I'm doing is because I know that at any moment, Alan is well in his right to stop me. I am here under submission to Alan while I'm here, and Nikki and the elders. I'm not a one-man band that I can do whatever I want. In my own church, Des will bear me out. I'm submitted into that church under the leadership. I used to lead the church with my husband. Now I'm in the church under somebody else's leadership. Not always easy, but it's what it is. And because of that, I have freedom to minister. All right? Remember that, friends. Persevere. Believe God. Be accountable to your leaders. Take the prophetic word that you get given, hide it in your heart. Write it down. Look at it. Trust. Bring it before God and say, Lord, you said. You said. And watch what God can do with a heart that is completely surrendered to Him. Tell you what, you ain't seen nothing yet, friends. Mrs.